you out of here.
Don't call me Kit.
The last priest in line, an enormously tall man, also whispered to him in English.
Avert your eyes from the fire, dear boy, lest you be blinded by it, and hold yourself ready.
On top of the pyramid, it was almost dark, and Jack strained to see why Doc's voice was coming from a skull mask of jade and obsidian who had topped a cloak of sable feathers.
Let the fires be lit!
The priest with the torch stooped and applied it to the two piles of dry branches, which instantly flared into crackling life, smoke curling into the evening sky. Itzcoatl stood at the front of the platform. The other characters in the drama ranged around him. Out of the corner of his eye, Jack noticed that one of the priests had moved silently to both fires and pushed something into their hearts. Something that looked like a couple of metallic tubes. The watching throng of natives raised their hands. Their faces were lifted toward the crowded top of the pyramid. Jack's slight figure stood alone, the rising flames making his hair glow like living fire. Ryan's finger tightened on the trigger. He held his breath, waiting for the precise moment, muttering a silent prayer that the thermite would work properly this time. Despite the effects of the powerful drug, Jack was recovering his senses. Despite feeling as strong as a drowning mouse, he tensed himself, ready for action. He remembered to avert his eyes from the bright red and orange flames, which suddenly turned to a torrent of bright silver fire, flaring out like a supernova, blinding everyone on top of the pyramid. Everyone except Jack, who'd actually closed his eyes, and JB and Doc, who were also ready for the inferno of dazzling light. The bullet hit Itzcoatl in the center of his chest, sending him staggering backward, blinded by the ignition of the thermite, to fall into the heart of the nearer fire. The intense white heat quickly consumed him. Ryan fired twice more, picking his targets with the greatest care, not taking any risk of hitting either JB or Doc. Christy, Mildred, and Dean had opened fire above the heads of the watching natives, each of them first putting a couple of rounds low, hitting legs, knocking men down, compounding the hysterical terror that had gripped the crowd, the supernatural appearance of the dazzling silver fire, and the sudden death of their chief. On top of the pyramid, Jack stood quite still, his eyes clamped shut, knowing that the light from the thermite might be powerful enough to destroy his fragile night vision. He swayed from side to side, focusing on not falling, his arms rigid. He swallowed hard as he was aware of the swirling chaos about him. Jack had heard the cold snap of Ryan's stire, then the sound of someone screaming as he went down. Then there were hands holding him, keeping him steady. The armorer fired the Uzi one-handed, clearing away most of the blood-smeared priests in their cloaks of flayed human skin. And then there was Doc on the other side, the scattergun charge of his golden-gray blava, taking out three more of the natives.
Going down the back. Keep your eyes tight shut.
Jack obeyed the voice. Part of his brain was still subdued by the outlay, so that his feet stumbled and he felt like throwing up. His nostrils were flooded with the stench of roasting human flesh, and he wondered who had been sacrificed. The thermite was a perfect mix, and it was flowing in a molten stream over the top of the pyramid, sliding down the steep steps like a living serpent of fire. It was a terrifying sight to the panicked natives at the bottom, who broke and ran. It was a mad rush for safety through the jungle. Despite their collective experience and skill at tracking through a wilderness, there were occasions when none of the companions was sure which of several winding trails was the one to lead them back to the redoubt. The soaring moon was hidden behind thick bands of dark cloud, and the night had turned colder. Jack was recovering fast. Once they'd gotten a mile away from the screaming mob of villagers, they stopped while Mildred checked the teenager. She found that his pulse and respiration were both a little slow, but he was surprisingly strong and well. Doc was exultant.
That was so good! Teach them to try and turn one of our friends into a human sacrifice.
Nice shot to take out Itzcoatl. Difficult at that angle and that poor light.
Helped having that thermite blazing behind him. Best silhouette I ever saw.
Think they'll come after us, Dad? Still a lot of them alive.
Who knows? We took out most of their leaders. Put the fear of their gods in the rest of them.
Those pestilential feathers from the mask have brought on my hay fever.
It was a smell of ancient blood that I found so sickening.
Who got bind? Burned?
Smelted.
Doc holstered the Lama.
It was poor Itzcoatl, Jack. I couldn't bring myself to dislike the old rogue. He was only following the traditions of his ancestors. Rather a case of a man having to do what a man had to do. And finding that it's all fallen apart in his hand like wet rot in a buggy wheel. After Ryan shot him, the poor fellow fell smack into the heart of the thermite blaze.
Yeah, not a pretty sight, friends. That thermite burned to the bone right away. By the time we got young Jack off the top of the pyramid and down through the secret room, the old chief wasn't much more than scorched ashes top to toe.
Christy swung around, staring behind them into the blackness, as though she'd heard a twig snap.
What? What is it, lover?
I felt someone out there in the jungle, coming this way and getting closer.
The natives?
She shook her head, the sentient hair seeming to sparkle like a myriad of tiny fires in the dark.
Can't tell, but definitely coming nearer.
How far to the redoubt?
My guess puts it about another 2 hours.
Be close to dawn, then.
Right. If it's Itzcoatl's brothers after revenge, or after Jack, then they'll know these trails a sight better than us. Let's move it.
Christy and Dean had stolen a pile of tortillas from the kitchens before the ritual began, and the friends now shared them, washing them down with cool liquid from a nearby stream.
Half an hour and we should be there. Beat the dawn.
Beat the pursuit.
For the last half mile, Christy had been looking over her shoulder.
Are they close, lover?
She had been sitting, snatching a few moments' rest. Now she straightened.
Feel them all the time. Feel them on both sides now, sort of closing us in.
Try an ambush?
No. Not in terrain like this, in this sort of bad light. They'd hold too many cards. Just keep moving is all. There.
To everyone's great relief, the small gateway building finally appeared in front of them, set in the heart of the towering trees. The sector was closed, and there was no sign of any life around it. The dark clouds had moved on south, leaving watery moonlight dribbling over the forest. The narrow path seemed to have closed in on itself in the few days since they'd last walked that way.
There was once a road through the woods. Now the heat and the rain have undone it again, and now you would never know that...
Shut it, Doc. I can feel them closer.
Open the door, Dean. Fast. The rest of us all keep a triple red watch.
The control lever shifted easily, and the massive vanadium steel door began to move upward. Dean let them know when it was high enough for them to get in.
Ready, Dad?
Fine.
Is there movement in the shadows underneath the flowering shrubs?
One at a time. JB, stay and keep them covered.
Cold neon light spilled from the open door, out across the clearing, throwing everyone's shadows toward the edge of the darkness. Despite the cool air, Ryan realized that he was sweating. Christy, Mildred, Doc, and Jack made their way inside the building.
You next, Ryan.
No, me last. Go.
Ryan stood for a moment, alone. It could have been a night bird, but Ryan knew that it wasn't. He backed toward the door and into the gateway, glancing around. Shocked to see that the whole place was now covered in layers of vivid green moss. It was far worse than when they'd made the jump. And his only guess was that in opening the door, they'd let in all manner of spores, damp, and heat. Most of the console screens were invisible under the lichen, their panels of lights flickering under the murky blanket.
I have grave doubts that the actual gateway unit is still functioning, Ryan. I've never seen such advanced botanical sabotage.
Get into the chamber, quick. Best try it right away.
Ryan glanced behind him. But the spillage of light from the control room made it impossible to make out anything beyond the open sector.
Should I close that, Dad?
It was a great temptation. Once it was down, they'd be completely safe from any sort of attack that the natives could manage.
You can... No. Leave it be.
But if we...
Leave it!
The boy jumped back as though Ryan had slapped him across the face.
Sorry, Dad.
They're close outside. Everyone in the chamber.
Ryan was aware that exhaustion was catching up on him. The last days and nights had been filled with too much stress and action, and far too little rest. Now there was the certainty that the pursuing natives were on top of them, wanting vengeance, fresh bodies, an offering for their gods. He and JB automatically took up the rearguard positions, without a word being spoken between them, and backed across the control room. It was a poor defensive position, even against men armed mainly with bows and blowpipes. Poor cover, and too little of it.
Come on, lover. Come on!
An arrow hissed through the door, missing Ryan by a couple of feet,